I'm going to start in Revelations, and what I want to show you is something that the Lord has just shown me about the, you know, we were talking about the timing of which things happen in Revelation. We talked before about how people have mistaken the sequence of the visions for the sequence of the events. The visions are given in a sequence, but the sequence of events is different than the way they're portrayed in the vision. In other words, the visions are one right after the other, and so it gives the impression to people that the events described in the visions happen one after the other. But upon further study, if anybody will look, the sequence of the visions is different from the sequence of events. I hope everybody understood that. Don't want to overcomplicate it. But we find that the events themselves are happening in a manner with each other. The events of the visions themselves are happening simultaneous. Now, when we talk about the seven seals, the seven bowls, and the seven trumpets, people think of them as running concurrently, one right after the other. And that's not true. That's the way the visions of these things come out. The actual events of the visions are happening simultaneously. Now, the seals are different from the bowls and the judgments in this. They cover a time period from basically the abomination of desolation and the revealing of Antichrist to Jesus' actual second coming. The seventh seal, now that's 1 through 6 of the seals. The seventh seal is the start of another vision, and that's the revelation of the seven trumpets. The seven trumpets start at a time toward the end of the tribulation, but they end in the same place as the sixth seal does, with a great earthquake. The bowls start even further along in the tribulation period toward the end, but they end in the same place as the seals and the trumpets, with a great earthquake. So they start at different times, but they have the same ending. The seals, we cannot really consider them as the bowls and the trumpets, because the seals cover the whole time period. And the bowls and trumpets are things that happen within the seals. Now, this is the way we should see it, is that the bowls and trumpets are part of the seals' vision. The bowls and trumpets are individual, smaller visions within the seals' vision. That's the way they're portrayed. All right, with that understanding, let me detail so that we know that what we're talking about is true. Let me detail it from the scripture. And then we're going to go to Zechariah. And we're going to see something astounding that really helps us put things into perspective. We'll mix in a little bit from Matthew 24, where Jesus lays out an order. You know, if we were to start with Matthew 24 and see the order of the specific events, and we can detail this really quick from Scripture, because it is the sequence. It starts in verse Matthew 24:15, the abomination of desolation. When we look at the total of Matthew 24, as we've discussed before, we see that verses 4 through 14 is an overall synopsis of events. Nothing specific, just an overall synopsis. Verse 15 gets to the specifics of the events that happened here at the last time, directly preceding the Great Tribulation. For example, we know that the abomination of desolation is the Great Tribulation, the beginning of it, because of Jesus, what Jesus says and what Matthew and what Daniel says in Daniel 9:26. He tells us that this prince who shall come will make a covenant with many. And in the midst of this covenant, this seven-year covenant, he would cause the abomination that makes desolate. Jesus says, when you see this abomination in Matthew 24:15, let the reader understand, as it's spoken by the prophet Daniel, then flee, because, verse 21, then begins the greatest tribulation man will ever see. So the great tribulation starts with the abomination of desolation. which means it starts in the middle of this seven-year covenant the Antichrist makes with many. Now, I hope that's clear to everybody. This corresponds with Revelation 13:5, where it tells us that the Antichrist is given power to continue for 42 months, 3.5 years, which matches exactly with half of seven. And all of these other events happen within that same time frame, 3.5 years for the two great witnesses, 3.5 years for a place made for the woman to be safe, speaking of Israel. And so we have the same 3.5 years for all of these events. That is the length of the Great Tribulation. Well, Matthew 24 details it to where we get to verse 29. It says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky. The heavenly bodies will be shaken. And then you'll see the sign of the Son of Man in the sky, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn. This is going to be extremely important later. All the tribes of the earth will mourn when they see the sign of the Son of Man in the sky. Then you'll see the Lord coming in the clouds with power and great glory, and he'll gather his elect from the four winds. This is Jesus' coming and our being gathered to him for the resurrection of the dead. That's what ends everything, is Jesus' coming. That's when that great earthquake happens, is when Jesus comes with all of his holy ones. Now, we're going to bear this out today. What we want to do is bear this scenario out from the book of Revelation and Zechariah. And we're going to make those comparisons. So first, let's start with the revealing of Antichrist in the seven seals. The first seal, chapter 6, Revelation, verse 1, I watched as the land opened the first of the seven seals, and then I heard one of the four living creatures say in a voice like thunder, come, and I looked, before me was a white horse. Its rider held a bow, and he was given a crown, and he rode out as a conqueror, bent on conquest. This is the description of the Antichrist. Notice how this corresponds exactly with Matthew 24:15, the abomination of desolation. Because the next horse of the four horsemen, the second seal, is a red horse, and its rider is given power to take peace from the earth. This man that's been on conquest brings war, and he takes peace from the earth, and was given to him a large sword. Well, war, what does war bring? It brings famine and pestilence. What's the next seal? I heard the third living creature say, come, and I looked, before me was a black horse, and its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand, and I heard what sounded like a voice among the four living creatures saying, come, and a quart of wheat for a day's wages, and three quarts of barley for a day's wages, do not damage the oil and the wine. And this speaks of famine. And then the Lord opened the fourth seal, and I heard the voice of the fourth living creature said, look, and before me was a pale horse. Its rider was named Death, and hell followed close behind. And he was given power over the fourth of the earth. Now listen how he was to kill. To kill by the sword, war, famine and plague, the next horse, and by the wild beasts of the earth, who were hungry because of their famine and plague. This is the natural happening of war, isn't it? A man comes along like the Antichrist, starts a war. War brings famine and plague. Famine and plague brings death. Wild animals start going crazy because there's no food to eat. And it's a natural progression, isn't it? The next thing that happens, when he opened the fifth seal, I saw the altar under the souls and those who had been slain because of the word of God. The persecution that comes with this great tribulation caused by this man bent on conquest. And they called out in a loud voice, how long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood? And each of them was given a white robe, and they were told to wait a little longer, until the number of their fellow servants and brothers were to be killed, as they had been, was completed. Now that time is the Great Tribulation. That's what we're talking about. You can match it up real easy. Then he opens the sixth seal. Now, you've got to see the comparison of the sixth seal. The sixth seal with Matthew 24:29. Remember, the sun will be darkened, the moon shall not give its light immediately after the tribulation of those days, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. Listen, then you'll see the sign of the Son of Man in the sky, and then the gathering of the elect. Well, it follows all the way through 7 just like this. I watched as he opened the sixth seal. There was a great earthquake. That's the earthquake that ends everything shortly before Jesus returns. The sun turned black like sackcloth made of goat hair. The whole moon turned blood red. And the stars in the sky fell to the earth. See, exactly like Matthew 24:29. And the stars fell like as late figs dropped from a fig tree when shaken by a strong wind. The sky receded up like a scroll, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. This is that earthquake. Then the kings of the earth. What's the next thing that happens in Matthew 24? After that, the sign of the Son of Man appears in the sky, and all the tribes of the earth mourn. It tells us here, the kings of the earth, the princes, the generals, the rich, the mighty, and every slave, and every free man hid in caves and among the rocks, and they cried out, "Hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand?" That's the sign of the Son of Man, and that is all the tribes mourning when they see his sign in the sky. The next thing that happens is I saw four angels. Now remember, he gathers his elect from the four corners, from the four winds. From the four winds. And I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth, to prevent any wind from blowing on the land or the sea or any tree. And I saw another angel coming with the east, having the seal of the living God. And this is where those 144,000, 12,000 from each of the tribes are sealed. This is when the Jews finally say, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." This is when that 144,000 are sealed. And you notice it takes place scant moments between the time the sign of the Son of Man appears in the sky and the time Jesus actually returns. That's when they're sealed. In fact, the final plagues that are to fall upon the earth are held back so they can be sealed. Now, this destroys the idea that there's going to be 144,000 John the Baptist roaming the earth during the Great Tribulation, because they're not even sealed until scant moments before Jesus returns. And we know the timing of this because the next part starts with that great multitude. The next part here of chapter 7, going in that order, has this great multitude, and this is all still the sixth seal, where he saw a great multitude from every nation, tribe, and people standing before the throne in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and holding palm branches. When asked who these were, in verse 13, one of the elders asked me, John says, "Who are they, these in white robes, and where do they come from?" And I answered, "Sir, you know." He said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation, and they washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." So this speaks of that gathering. And you see the two parts, the two components of that gathering, the 144,000 of the Jews and the nations, those who belong to Christ. You see the two parts of that one body of Christ, don't you? Now, in chapter 8, we begin with the seventh seal. Remember, the six seals detail from the revealing of Antichrist, and this is real important. They detail from the revealing of Antichrist to Jesus' actual second coming and that great earthquake. That's where it stops. And the gathering of the elect. The seventh seal, though, is the revelation of the seven trumpets. Chapter 8, verse 1, when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about half an hour, and I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Alright, so that's the revelation of the seventh trumpet. And we start, go all the way down through the seven angels in verse 6. The seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared to sound them. First angel sounded his trumpet, and there came hot fire, hair, and hail mixed with blood, and so forth. Now notice, this isn't happening in the context of the sixth seal. This starts a new vision. The seventh seal starts a new vision of the seventh trumpets. It goes all the way down the fifth trumpet in chapter 9, verse 1. And I saw a star that had fallen from the sky to the earth. The sky was given to the shaft of the abyss, and he opened up the abyss. Locusts came out. And this goes all the way to the two great witnesses and tells how long that they prophesy for in chapter 11, these trumpets. The final trumpet. Now listen to this. The final trumpet, the seventh trumpet, is blown when? It tells us in verse 7, and let me read it. When the two witnesses, when they have finished their testimony, the beast that comes up from the abyss will attack them and overpower them. Their bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which is figuratively called Sodom in Egypt, where also their Lord was crucified. For 3.5 days, men from every people, tribe, language, and nation will gaze on their bodies and refuse them burial. The inhabitants of the earth will gloat over them and will celebrate by sending each other gifts, because these two prophets had tormented those who live on the earth. After the 3.5 days, a breath of life from God entered to them. They stood on their feet, and terror struck those who saw them. And they heard a loud voice from heaven saying, "Come up here." And they went up to heaven in a cloud while their enemies looked on. At that very hour, there was a severe earthquake, and a tenth of the city collapsed. 7,000 people were killed in the earthquake, and the survivors were terrified and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe is past, the third woe is coming soon. The seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there was a loud voice in heaven, and the kingdom of the world, saying, "The kingdom of the Lord has become the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ, and he'll reign forever." And the 24 elders who were seated on the thrones before God fell on their faces and worshipped God, saying, "We give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, the one who is and was, because you've taken your great power and have begun to reign. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come." Now, notice it's immediately after that earthquake, the seventh trumpet is blown. Immediately after that earthquake, the seventh trumpet is blown. And that begins the gathering. It's at the sound of the seventh trumpet that we're gathered to meet Christ in the air, the last trump. All right? And it goes on to say, "Then God's temple in heaven was opened, and within his temple was seen the ark of his covenant, and there came flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, an earthquake, and a great hailstorm." Now, I want you to remember these three components. The great earthquake, them saying that the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and Christ, and he'll reign forever and ever. And I want you to remember there came flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, and an earthquake, and a great hailstorm. I want you to remember those points. Because when we get over, we've already seen the earthquake in chapter 6. I mean, in chapter 6, at the when Jesus was coming, marking the sign of his appearing. We've seen now the great earthquake at the end when the seventh trumpet is blown, shortly before we're gathered to meet Christ in the air. And now we're going to see it again in the vials or the bowls. In chapter 16, the seven bowls of God's wrath of Revelation, I heard a loud voice from the temple saying, "The seven angels, go pour out the seven bowls of God's wrath on the earth." The first angel went out and poured his, and so forth. The second angel, the third angel. Verse 17, the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and out of the temple came a loud voice from the throne saying, "It is done." Now that's what they said over there. It is done. Remember, there came flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, and a severe earthquake at the seventh bowl. No earthquake like it had ever occurred since man had been on earth. So tremendous was the quake. The great city split in three parts, and the cities of the nations collapsed. And God remembered Babylon the Great and gave her a cup filled with the wine of the fury of his wrath. And every island fled away. Remember from chapter 6, from the sixth seal, every island fled away from his sight. Every island fled, and the mountains could not be found. And from the high sky, huge hailstones. Remember, there was a hailstorm in the seven trumpets. The sky fell, huge hailstones of about 100 pounds each fell upon men, and they cursed God on account of the plague of hail, because the plague of hail was so terrible. All right, that's the seventh bowl. Now, it goes on to detail in this seventh bowl that plague that is poured out on the whore of Babylon. Chapter 17 and 18 is about the whore of Babylon. And chapter 19 is Jesus coming in the clouds. Chapter 19 is the wedding supper of the Lamb. Chapter 19 is detailing exactly what chapter 7 did about this great multitude who had come out of the great tribulation. Verse 1, "After this I heard what sounded like the roar of a great multitude in heaven shouting, 'Hallelujah! Salvation and power and glory belong to our God. Just and true is judgments.'" We see the 24 elders here and the four living creatures there and so forth, just like we did over there. And this is Jesus coming, And it talks about the wedding supper, and it talks about Armageddon and the rider on the white horse. And it ends with him throwing the beast and the false prophet into the lake of fire and destroying that army when he comes. Now, the last thing that happens before he comes, the great earthquake, the plague of hail, the rumblings and the peals of thunder. The last thing that happened in the six seals, the rumbling and peals of thunder, and the sealing of those who belong to Christ. And then he came. The last thing that happened in the trumpets, the great earthquake, the rumbling and peals of thunder, the great hailstorm. See, it all ends in the same place. There's no doubt at all. Now, this is what's really cool. When we go back to Zechariah 14, remember we talked before about when Jesus actually returns. He brings with him, you know, all those who are dead in Christ. And this is the beginning of the day of the Lord. This is when he starts to rule and reign, and we're resurrected to rule and reign with him. In fact, that's where it picks up at the end of 19 in chapter 20 of Revelations, where thrones are placed and those who are given judgment and those who have a part in the first resurrection. That's just the detail of it. But that's what happens when Jesus comes to reign. It is the day of the Lord. So in chapter 14 of Zechariah, and let me precede this, because before that day comes, listen to what it says in chapter 13. On that day a fountain will be opened to the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to cleanse them from sin and impurity. Wow. Remember the 144,000 are sealed shortly before Jesus comes? On that day I'll banish the names of the idols from the land, and they'll be remembered no more, declares the Lord Almighty. And I'll remove both the prophets and the spirit of impurity from the land, and anyone still prophesies, you know, will tell him he must, you know, they must die and everything. It tells us in verse 10, I'll pour out on the house of David, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, a spirit of grace and supplication, and they'll look on me, the one they have pierced, and they'll mourn for him as one mourns for an only child. Remember the mourning? All the tribes of the earth will mourn, even those who pierced him. Can y'all see it? So chapter 14, verse 1 starts, a day of the Lord is coming, when your plunder will be divided among you, and I'll gather all the nations to Jerusalem to fight against it. The city will be captured, the houses ransacked, and the women raped. This is the army of Antichrist. Half of the city will go into exile, but the rest of the people will be not taken from the city. And the Lord will go out and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. And on that day, when Jesus returns from Armageddon, listen what happens. On that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives east of Jerusalem, and the Mount of Olives will be split in two from east to west. That's the great earthquake. That's the great earthquake that symbols his coming. His feet will stand on that mountain and it'll split in two. Half moving, forming a great valley, and half of the mountain moving north and half moving south. And you'll flee by my mountain valley, for it will extend to Azel. And you will flee as you fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Then the Lord my God will come and all the holy ones with him. You see it? That great earthquake is Jesus putting his feet on the Mount of Olives when he returns. Boom! And he's coming with all of his holy ones with him at that time. That great earthquake is what starts it. You'll flee by my mountain valley, for it will extend to Azel, and you flee as you fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Then the Lord my God will come, and all the holy ones with him. And on that day there will be no light, no cold or frost. It will be a unique day without daytime or nighttime, a day known to the Lord. When evening comes, there will be light. And on that day, living water will flow out from Jerusalem, half to the eastern sea and half to the western sea, in summer and in winter. And the Lord will be king over the whole earth. And on that day there will be one Lord in his name, and that will be the only name. That is the millennial reign of Christ, isn't it? So can you see? You see how this all fits exactly? Exactly. When we understand that the role of the visions The sequence of the visions is not the sequence of events. It's the sequence of the visions that describe the events. But when you compare the events themselves, you see the timing. And it fits in exactly with Matthew 24, 15 through Jesus coming, 30, 31. Fits in exactly with that. Fits in exactly with Zechariah 12, 13, and 14, speaking of the day of the Lord. And it fits in exactly with Revelations, the bowls, the seals, and the trumpets in their order. It starts with the Antichrist, that time, the revealing of Antichrist through the Great Tribulation, and ends always in the same place with that great earthquake and Jesus coming in the clouds. And I think that this is more understanding than I'd ever hoped for in the sequence of these events. It's becoming clearer and clearer. Now, how many of you can really see what I'm talking about? It's a good place to stop. I'm going to open it up for questions and comments. But how many of you really can see what I'm talking about and the clear scriptural comparison of these things so that we don't have to have guessing games about it anymore?